Turn with me tonight to the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah tonight, we're going to start our time in the Word of God by looking at two different passages in the book of Isaiah that will give us two different views of God and two different views of self. Actually, two opposite views. Isaiah chapter number 6, we find the prophet Isaiah. We hear in chapter 6, we really have the call of the prophet Isaiah. And typically in the Bible, we find a common thread when people got into the presence of the Lord. There in the presence of the Lord is when they heard the call of God. Some could mock that and say, well, you know, we're in the presence of God all the time. But here in Isaiah 6, as well as Ezekiel, first couple chapters, as well as Acts chapter number 9, we see a common thread. We see those individuals, Isaiah, we see Ezekiel, we see the Apostle Paul, Saul at that time, being in the very presence of a holy God. And in each one of those cases, we see a similar question. And in this case, the Lord says, who will go for us? And in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We see that parallel truth. But let's look at very quickly here. What was Isaiah's view of God? It says in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, these angelic beings. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Covered his face because he's looking upon a holy God, and he cannot look upon a holy God. He covered his feet because he was on holy ground. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now this was his view of the Lord. This is who he saw. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. Notice his view of the Lord, and notice his view of self. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So notice he saw the Lord. Notice his view of the Lord. Notice his response to the Lord and his response to seeing the Lord. He says, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. In verse number 12, here we have Lucifer. And the description of Lucifer's fall in heaven. Verse 12, how art thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? how thou art cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. Wow, what a contrast. Notice his view of God. Notice his response to God. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will sit in the sides of the north. Here we find Lucifer. He saw himself as greater than God. He saw himself as higher than God. He saw God as someone that he could ascend above. He saw God as someone that he could rebel against. What a contrast. Isaiah says, woe is me, for I have seen the Lord. And Lucifer, what does he say? He said, I will ascend above the stars of heaven. And here we have really the contrast of humility and pride. Here we have pride visualized. Here we have pride seen in Lucifer. And here we have humility seen in Isaiah. I think there's two ingredients that we see about the ingredients of humility and pride. You see, pride has a false view or a wrong view of God. And pride also not only has a wrong view of God, but pride has a wrong view of self. Isaiah, in humility, saw God as he really was. In humility, Isaiah saw who he really was. Satan thought himself to be far more than who he was. And he saw God as far, far less than who he was. Reminded tonight that God, the Bible tells us that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I believe in Junior Church, they are coming up real soon now with a series on humility. And one of the definitions we have given to the young people for humility, if I remember correctly, humility is having the right view of God. And humility is having the right view of yourself. And we see that in Isaiah. When he saw God, and he saw the Lord, he saw him in his glory. And he saw himself as unclean sinner, lowly and nothing in the sight of God. You know, we find the same truth exhibited in another phrase in the Bible. We see that same truth. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says, that familiar verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, what is a fool? A fool is someone who's foolish. A fool is someone who knows very little. A fool is unskillful in life, unsuccessful in life. They are running to destruction and they think they're okay. Notice the contrast. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord really is that phrase that refers to exactly what attitude there was in Isaiah when he saw the Lord. That fear of the Lord is a right understanding of who the Lord is. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the knowledge of the holy. It's a knowledge of who God is, an understanding of who he is. They say fear of the Lord refers to reverential awe. Well, it's a lot more than that. It is a recognition of the holy, mighty, powerful God and how we ought to tremble in his presence. Now, the fear of the Lord, so it contains within it the right view of God and the right view of ourselves. But the fool, the Bible says, despises wisdom and instruction. The fool, they think they're great. They don't think that they need God. They don't think they need wisdom. And they're the epitome of pride. They have a wrong view of God and the wrong view of themselves. And they don't need wisdom. They don't need instruction. And of course, in this chapter, the fool hates knowledge. He doesn't want knowledge. He doesn't want to learn from God. He doesn't need anything. And it says here, verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Why? It says, verse 29, for they hated knowledge. It did not choose the fear of the Lord. Notice their attitude, their understanding of God. I don't need God. I don't need God. That's pride. I don't need God. And so we find those truths with that phrase, the fear of the Lord. Let's look at a few of those phrases. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, pride is the wrong view of self. Pride is conceited. Pride knows it all. And pride doesn't need the word of God. Pride doesn't need to be taught from God. Pride doesn't need God. A person who doesn't need God, their problem is pride. The person who doesn't want to learn and obey God, their problem is pride. And why are they proud? Because they don't know who God is. They don't have the fear of the Lord. Chapter 8 and verse number 13. Chapter 8 and verse number 13 of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it describes the evil it's talking about. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And opposite, the fear of the Lord. And the opposite is pride. Arrogancy. The love of evil. The opposite. When Isaiah saw the Lord, and he saw the Lord, and he saw his greatness, what did he think about his evil? Did he love his evil? No, he hated his evil. He said, woe is me. Fear of the Lord is the correct knowledge of God. Knowing who God is, thinking rightly, properly, knowing who God is. Proverbs 15 and verse number 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. In this parallelism, we see the parallel of the fear of the Lord and humility. They are in this verse, they are equated as synonymous or equals. The fear of the Lord, humility. The lack of the fear of the Lord, pride. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is saying, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I am nothing. I am a sinner. I am by my sinful nature. I am twisted in the wrong way. I need truth. I need knowledge. I need wisdom. I need it from God. I need it from God's word. The fear of the Lord is the right view of God and the right view of ourselves. Humility is the right view of God and the right view of ourselves. Notice chapter 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. You know, the man who thinks that you can sin and get away with it, the person who thinks that they can sin and it will not be known, or it will not produce fruit, it will not do anything. Bible says the end of sin is death. Pride says, I can sin and it'll be fine. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is that which causes men to depart from iniquity. You know, when we sin and we don't turn from sin, we have a problem. The Bible says it's pride. It's pride. Chapter 24 and verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are given to change. You know, when I see this phrase, it seems to me that what it's saying is that there are some conceited people who know better, who are smarter than others, who want to have a better way. They want to go in a new direction. They think that they somehow have a corner on what's right, but it's not from the Bible. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Boy, Christianity Day is full of change, isn't it? It's full of change. The day of apostasy has always been a day of rejecting the old paths. You read the scriptures. It's a time of rejecting the old paths. And so, you know, we got people who are trying to change everything. They're trying to change the music. They're trying to change the whole worship of God. They're not afraid. Boy, they're not afraid to touch God's service. They're not afraid to touch things. You know, they don't understand. You know why? Because they don't know God. And they're not humble before God. They think they know the answers. And they're all about, the emerging church is all about change. That's right, it's all about change. We're rejecting the old paths. New evangelicalism, the new evangelicalism, is all about change. Rejecting the old ways. You know, everything's, and it says, meddle not with them that are given change. Why? Because they don't have the fear of the Lord. And you know what? They're foolish. They're bringing about changes that they have no concept of where it's going to lead them, their children, and their flocks, and their Christianity. Have no idea. I talked to someone this morning. I said, faith is 20 years old. They're saying, you know, I'm glad after seeing a bunch of my friends, my old church, he said, I am so glad I left that place. Now I see what they're like. Now I see what they're doing, how they're acting, how their Christianity is. And, you know, he said, I didn't know. I had no idea it would ever result in what I saw yesterday. Had no idea. But I saw it was going in the wrong direction. And I left. And I said, faith is 20 years old. Give it 20 years and you will save yourself the mistake that would come in 20 years. Meddle not with them that are given to change. You see, the fear of the Lord is the right view of God. The fear of the Lord, He is the standard. God is the standard. We're going to move from that standard. I don't know, someone asked me yesterday about hairstyles. And someone was mocking certain men's hairstyles as whatever. And I said, no, that's not the issue. I said, you know what the issue is? The issue is, who is God? And you know who God is? God is orderly. God is orderly. God is neat. God isn't messy. And God isn't disorderly. And this these hairstyles that are disorderly are wrong. Why? Because God is not disorderly. That's the change that's wrong. When you're changing away from God's standard. And why don't people know the standard? Because they don't know God. And if a person knows God, what is it that marks their whole demeanor, their whole focus, and their, what is it called? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the right view of God, and it's the right view of self. I was reading a great book yesterday. It's called, it's written by Richard Owen Roberts. It's a book, it's called Repentance, the First Word of the Gospel. Great book, boy. Great book. Very, very biblical, very convicting. And he was talking about a particular situation. And he said, you know, he said, the root of that sin was pride. And I began to think about that. That really the root of sin is pride. You know, there's a lot of outward forms of sin. But what is the root of pride? I mean, what is the root of sin? Where does it come from? What's the source of it? Pride. The devil, he said, I will ascend. I will go above God. I will do this. I thought about that. What is pride say? What does pride say? Pride says, not really doesn't say it, but it does say it in life. But, you know, given time, it really does. There are people who really say this. Pride says, I know more than God. Yep, the young person that says, I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to come to church and listen. I don't need my parents. But I don't need God. You know what it is? It's pride. Pride says, I know more than God. I know more than God. You know, when you don't need to listen to God, you say, you're really saying, I know more than God. When your father tries to tell you something and you reject it, what are you saying? You said, I don't need to listen to him. I know more than him. Ask the teachers. Ask the teachers. Ask the first and second grade teacher in the school if the kids think they know more than the teacher. Yeah. Many times they do. Why? Because pride. Pride says, I know more than God. Pride says, I don't need God. We do that. I'm spiritual enough. I don't need his power today in my life. I don't need to read my Bible. I'm spiritual enough. I don't need God. I don't need to go to church. Why do I need to go to church? I'm spiritual enough. I don't need to go to church. I know enough of the Bible. I don't need to go to Sunday school. I'm fine. I don't need to waste my time going to church. You know, 1 hour a week is enough. You know, it's an attitude. And it's a bad attitude. It's the wrong understanding of who God is. You know, if we knew who God was, we'd say, I need Him. I need Him. If we knew who God was, we'd say, I need Him. If we knew how weak we were, if we knew how sinful we were, if we really believed the truth of how wicked we were, how we are desperately wicked, we'd say, I need God. But we don't say that very often sometimes. It's pride. Young person, it's pride. We get up in the morning and we say, I don't need to read my Bible. I'm fine. That's pride. I don't need God. I'm fine. I'm good enough. I'm spiritual. No. Get in the presence of God and you say, woe is me. What does pride say? Pride says, I'm better than others. I'm not as much a sinner as him. I'm not as much a sinner as him. Comparing ourselves with the wrong person. We compare ourselves with God who says, woe is me. You know, when we won't serve other people, when we won't cooperate with other people, when we won't become a part of the program, many times it's because we really in our hearts say we're better than other people. I don't need to lower myself and cooperate. It's pride. Pride says, I don't need to submit to God's plan. That's what pride says. Pride says, I don't need to submit to God's plan. I don't need to submit to God's authorities in my life. I don't need it. Well, you have a problem with God. You know, teenagers don't like it when they're having a problem with rebellion against their parents and you tell them, you know, your problem isn't with your mom and your problem isn't with your dad. And it's not a problem with what they did or it's not a problem of their inconsistency. It's the problem of you are not right with God. Your problem is with God. You're using some person as an excuse not to submit to God's plan. And you know what? Pride says, I don't need to submit to God's plan. I don't need it. I'm above that. I'm above the commandments of God. I'm above the plan of God. I don't need to do that. I don't submit to that. I'm better than that. You know, other people, as for other people. You like Obama said, religion and guns are for weak people. Well, that's the epitome of pride, isn't it? Mocking humility. I don't need to submit to God's plan. I don't need to submit to God's authority. You see, rebellion is just pride. What is pride? Pride is that attitude that says, I will rise up against God. You know, you think about that. Isn't that the most foolish thought in all the world? I am going to rise up against God. God says, go this way. I tell you what, I'm going that way. Oh, boy. That is twisted thinking, isn't it? It reeks of a total misconception, misunderstanding, a lack of the knowledge of who God is. And it certainly lacks of the whole concept of how sinful and dark my mind and my soul is apart from Jesus Christ. We live in a very proud age. We live in a very proud age. Some statements in the scripture about pride. Turn with me to James 4. I think that's very interesting here in James chapter 4. Some thoughts here. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Notice some of the truths here. It says that God resists the proud. There isn't going to be any spiritual growth in the life of a proud person. Not going to be spiritual growth in the life of a proud person. There's a resistance, but notice as he gives grace unto the humble. What is God's grace? God's supernatural power. God's supernatural ability. God's supernatural working. And where does he work? He works in the heart of the humble. The one who submits to God. And notice it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. What is it saying? It says the humble submits to God. You know, the Bible says, do such and such. Okay, the Bible says it, I'm doing it. That's all it is. The Bible says it, I'm doing it. Submit yourself. Obey. Obedience has to do with humility. Pride and disobedience has to do with the person who thinks God is less than he is and that man is bigger than he is and he doesn't need to obey God. Notice, resist the devil. You know, the devil loves pride. The devil loves pride. Think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 11. where it says there, that phrase, for this cause ought the woman to have power or authority on her head because of the angels. For this cause a woman ought to have power on her head. It says that she ought to show that she is under authority by her hair. Now, I know that most fundamental Baptists don't believe that anymore. But it says, why? Because of the angels. The angels, it's implying angels are looking for a person who is advertising they are not under authority. And who is not under authority? Pride is not under authority. I don't need authority. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need God's plan. I can do it my way. And so he says that resist the devil. It's in the context of humility. It's in the context of obedience to God. It's the concept that God is here. I'm here. I submit to Him. I follow Him. I need Him. I need to learn from Him. I am a sinner. My heart's been darkened by sin. I'm a child of Adam. And I need wisdom. I'm not born with wisdom. I am born with foolishness. I need God. I need His Word. I need to learn from Him. I need to follow Him. His Word is perfect. His will is perfect. I need to go to the Word of God and obey it and believe it, even if I don't understand why. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Who draws nigh to God? The one who needs Him. The one who needs Him. The one who's humble. The one who says, God is here. I'm here. I'm nothing in the sight of God. The one who says, God is high and holy, and I am a sinner. I need Him. I need Him. Draw nigh to God. Who draws nigh to God? The humble. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Who sees their sin as sin? Isaiah saw his sin as sin when he got into the presence of God. And you know, we justify our sin, we excuse our sin, we blame others for our sin. And why? It's because of our pride. Humility says, you know, I did it. I chose it. I wanted it. I'm wicked. I'm sinful. I go my own way. Humility says, I've offended a holy God. I need His forgiveness. I need His cleansing. I need Him. We need to look at the root of our sins. You know, the problem is many times we just look at the outward parts of our sins. But we don't look at where they came from. We don't look at the root of our sin. And most often the root of our sin is pride. It really doesn't do much good to confess some outward sin when we don't really confess why we did it, where it came from. We may stop doing that one outward thing, but that the pride will come out to the surface in other things. Because we need to look at the root of our sin. And see if the root of that sin is our pride. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. You know how many times the sad thing is we come to church and, you know, we don't really come to church with a need. Maybe we don't come hungry. How many times we go to our Bible and, you know, we read a couple verses and but we really didn't meet the Lord. We didn't really see God. And we can leave there without what we need. What we need is to see the Lord. And if we see the Lord, we'll have the right view of God. And we'll have the right view of ourselves. Because we are not born with the right view of God. And we are not born with the right view of ourselves. We are born proud. We are born blinded by sin. And we live in a world that is a proud world. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Who are the poor? The poor are those who have the right view of God and have the right view of themselves. Pride is a real problem in all our lives. Has many different faces, but it has two main characteristics: the wrong view of God, a lack of the fear of the Lord, and a wrong view of ourselves. You know, there is a fish in the Gulf of Mexico called the puff fish. I've never seen it, but I hear about it. It's a little fish. And its means of protection against its enemies is that it has the ability to fill itself up with air and puff itself up to, I don't know how many times size bigger than it really is. And that way, when the enemy fish see this puff fish, they think, whoa, boy, that's a big fish. I'm not going to go after that big fish. But it's really not big fish. It's all air. And you know what? That's us, isn't it? Most of the time, we are just a bunch of hot air. And we try to appear something far different than what we really are. But the problem is, because we're sinners, we believe it. We believe the lie that we tell ourselves of who we are. The ancient Greeks, their gods, the gods of the Greeks, you know, Atlas and all those people, you know, they were just big men, right? They were just big men. That God was just a little bit bigger than man. Well, I tell you what, God is far bigger than man. Far bigger than man. The psalmist says, when I see the heavens and the stars and the moons, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Man, God is so much bigger than us. But you know, we are so sinful that not only do we think that God is much smaller than what he is, but the fact is many times we think that we think that we are bigger than God. And in our mind, no problem. I'm going to do what I want to do. Why? Because in reality, we are so proud. We really think that we're bigger than God. That's us. And God resisteth the proud. You don't want to obey God. You don't need God. We don't need to read God's word. We don't need wisdom for our life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We're not hungry to read the Bible. We're satisfied with our sinful ways. What is it? It's just our pride. It's just our pride. And God resisteth the proud. We need to ask ourselves, how does pride fit into my life? How does pride fit into my life? What is my concept of God? What is my real thinking about who I am? The sins that I do, why do I do them? How proud are we? It's not a pleasant exercise of meditation, but it is very needful. Oh, that we might get into the presence of God like Isaiah, that we might see him in his glory, that we would submit to him as we ought, and come to him for cleansing. Come to him as a sinner. He that cometh to me, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But we're not coming to someone who's our inferior. We're coming to someone who is our superior. We're coming to the Lord Jesus. To coming to the God of heaven. We're coming to the Holy One. We're coming to the King of glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded of our need. And Lord, I can only speak for myself that, Lord, that these truths are far from what they ought to be in our hearts and our minds. And that, Lord, we marvel at your grace towards us. How you, Lord, have to put up with us, who in much of our life are so proud and so contrary to you, and so much the opposite of the Son of God, who humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant when he was the king, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Lord, just help us even in these moments to be honest and sincere and humble, allowing you to take this truth into our life. Lord, show us Show us our pride. Show us, Lord, yourself, how great you are, how holy you are. May we get into your presence as we ought, so that we could, Lord, turn from our pride and humble ourselves and experience your mercy and grace. And so, Lord, may these truths be more than a sermon tonight. May these truths be those that we would take with us and that you'd use in our lives to penetrate, Lord, our lives, to meditate upon, so that we could turn from sin and turn to you in humility. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps.